Ruined tits for breakfast. Distinctive homes. Perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home. Let's talk
about text.
It's Tex Walker, Crows captain.
Welcome, Tex. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks, Closo. How are you, mate?
Not very bad at all. Having a lovely morning this morning. Let's get straight to it. How was it last weekend to get into the sheds after that game and decompress?
Wasn't the best one.
No.
We're three-quarter time, it was two and a half goals down, and I was pretty confident we might have been able to roll them, but it wasn't to be. Their class shone through and just shows us where we're probably at the moment. So we've still got a fair bit of work to do, but two back-to-back six-day breaks means you got to lick the wounds and jump straight back in. So we've got a big game this week coming on Thursday night.
Hey, Tex. You say you were confident, but it didn't look perhaps like the rest of the group was that confident in that final quarter. Is it a bit of the chicken and the egg? Like, how do you get that confidence to go forward?
Oh, I suppose confidence comes from consistently doing things, and we're not consistently doing things at the moment, but I still have belief in our group that we had the team to beat Richmond, but it wasn't to be. They were too good for us, so we reviewed it, and as I said, we've got to move forward quickly because we've got a big game on Thursday night.
So how do you shape up for the Cats then?
Yeah, obviously Dougie hurt his ankle, so he'll miss out. Hopefully Tails gets through the main session today. Eddie did a fair bit of training over the weekend, so he might put his hands up. And I think that's about it. I had a look at the sample on the weekend, which was good for the Grigg family to go along for the MND. And we had some really good performers there in Riley Knight, Paddy Wilson, Rory Atkins. I thought Alex Keith played really well, and Sam Gibson also played really well. So we've got some pressure coming from underneath, which is probably the first time this year we've had that. So we've got a few guys in form, which is good.
So with Daniel Taylor, pretty well straight after the game, they were saying he was injured and that he looked like he might be missing next week. Does he put his hand up and say, no, I'm going to be there? Or is it a doctor's decision whether his injury's going to keep him out or not?
Oh, probably a mixture. Tails knows his body better than anyone else, so he'll have a run around today and see how he gets through that.
Now, Tex, in the pre-game coverage on Channel 7 on Friday night, there was a feature on yourself. Not sure if you've seen it. You obviously wouldn't have seen
with
it Carlton on the
draft.
Night. Yep.
Carlton draft, 46 seconds.
Yeah. So you were asked who you would have over for dinner if you could choose two people.
Have a beer with.
Oh, have a beer with.
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah. Let's take a listen.
Great pub, the Alma. How long have you had it for?
4 years in September.
So who else is in it with you?
Rue, Sloaney, Danger.
Oh, yeah, that guy. You can have a beer with anyone on the planet. Who's it going to be?
I'm going to choose two, Kate Ritchie and Roger Federer.
Kate Ritchie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you talk us through that one?
Should see the look on his face at the moment. Can I just point that out?
Love Home and Away.
But Sally's not on Home and Away anymore.
Yeah, but I still watch Home and Away every now and again. I still love Sally, Kate Ritchie.
She's left her mark on Home and Away. Even when you watch Home and Away now, there's still a bit of Sal left in Home and Away.
Very much so.
Have you met Kate Ritchie?
No, I haven't.
Is that a lifelong ambition for you?
Yeah, much to Ellie's disgust.
She's a lovely girl. I worked with her on a show called It Takes Two.
What was that about?
It was where they put D-list singers like me with celebrities and taught them how to sing and stuff that. I was mentoring people. I wasn't mentoring people. I was just having a ball.
Well, Tex, if that's yours, then Ali, who's her the one person she'd love to meet?
I don't know. I haven't asked her.
I might have to ask her. See what the exchange rate is.
Yeah.
Perfect.
We'll see.
Hey, there's also a really beautiful story doing the rounds at the moment about a boy that works at the club, Jacob, good friend of yours. People who haven't met Jacob a bit about him.
So Jacob has Down syndrome and he's been working at the club for, I think it was 6 or 7 years. So he came along when Neil Craig was coach and I just I love him. I reckon he's a great kid, and his maturity since first coming in has been amazing. Like, we had to tell him, because his emotions were a bit up and down when he first came in, and we had to tell him that you have to leave everything at the door. You're not allowed to bring anything in, and he's now got a wooden box with a crow sticker on it, so that if he has a bad sleep or something's going on in his life, he'll take it into a room and talk to the box, close it, leave it in the room, and then come back out, and he'll go and get it at the end of the day. So things like that he's been able to do, which has helped him in everyday life. And where he lives in Edwardstown, he's a king.
Yeah.
He's a dead set king. He came over for dinner one night when Bernie and I were living together, and we dropped him home. We thought, we'll go in and have a look. And it was literally like an NBA start of a match. That, you know how they call their names out, they do all the high fives, and he was doing that as he was walking in. It was great. He's a great kid. So,
and he addresses the team as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, we get him to pump the boys up every now and again. We might need it today. We'll get him to pump it up after a loss. So
awesome.
And talking as you were early on about the Sandful and getting dunked the other day at that
fresh
game to help out. I mean, it's a big part of what clubs do, isn't it? Is getting involved with community events and getting people who are down on their luck or people who need a bit of a hand up. It's part of what the boys do as their everyday life in the game, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Mitch Grigg, he was on our list for a while, and I played a fair bit of footy with Griggy, and his old man's been diagnosed with MND, so they did a dunking thing at the Norwood Parade on Saturday. So Eddie and I went along and had sodas and a few old Norwood guys. So it was great to go along and get dunked.
Yeah, good on you for getting involved. All right, it's that time of day.
Oh,
what
yeah.
have you got for us?
Well, there's a bit of sad news, Alana. The bloke who wrote the song Hokey Pokey, he's passed away. But even sadder still was the news from his funeral. It took them 12 hours to bury him. They put his left leg in, they took his left leg out, and they shook it all about.
Tex Walker for Distinctive Homes, perfect for your lifestyle, our house, your home. Good luck, Tex.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tex.
Cheers, mate.
The boys are back on Monday. In the meantime, Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets, thankfully filling in along with Channel 7's Alana Smith. Good morning, people.
Good morning.
Morning, Hayto.
And could I just take this opportunity? I hope my wife's listening. I'd love to get married again, if we possibly could. Darling, this is my second proposal. She might not be up, but I think it's entirely appropriate that I propose on air.
Straight off the top there, Gleeson. Yeah, were you worried you'd forget throughout the show?
Because I have been thinking about it lately, and then I've thought, I couldn't be bothered. But then I just thought, why not? Let's just do it. Get married again.
There's a big part of me, Gleeson, that's thinking, what kind of trouble are you in? Like, what have you landed yourself in that you have to do that to get out of jail?
Done.
Maybe not. Maybe you could. I mean, we've both been getting up early, you two. And I'm just thinking, have you been using that to your advantage? For example, 7 o'clock comes and I'm so tired. I don't want to do the dishes.
You go to bed at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, no.
Wish I did that.
7-ish. What time are you guys getting to? You're up at what, 5? Quarter to 5-ish?
Bet 5-ish.
And what time are you going to bed?
10:30. I can't go to bed before 10:30. I'm unable to. I have a disability in that area.
You genuinely can't get to sleep? Wow. I'm at that age where I
well.
Go. I'm at that age now where I go. Daddy's 8 o'clock. Yes.
Our 3-year-old to bed. So she also has that issue where she can't go to bed before 10:30 either. And putting her to bed is like a soft form of torture because it takes hours.
Yeah.
Unless you just let her run around until 10:30 and she literally passes out.
Yeah.
It takes hours and hours. So I have been getting out of that, which has been amazing.
Well, my kids won't go to bed. I still remember I was with my brother one time and his son came in and said, Dad, can I go to bed? And I just sat there with my jaw open, like, when does that happen? Is there like a time that they get to, like an age they get to and they want to go to bed? It's amazing.
It'd be fantastic if they could keep that in light. I'll tell you what, in the next 15 minutes, Crows captain Tex Walker coming in after a hefty loss on the weekend. Where to from here? And we're going to check out the biggest three stories making headlines this morning. At 7 past 7, ruined it's for breakfast, Triple M. These are the stories making all the headlines this morning. A lot of more good news.
Yeah, that's right. We all went to bed wondering how it would go, but terrific news that 4 more of the boys trapped in the caves in Thailand have emerged overnight, and they're in hospital but seemingly well. So great news there, of course. Another four left in there and their coach.
That's right. And it'd be amazing to see if they had more, because there's, as you say, there's five more in there. They knocked like an hour and a half or 2 hours off the time that they got the first four out.
Yeah.
If they had more in there, I reckon they could get it down to like an hour. It would be like a time trial. They could really easily knock it down, get these kids out of there. But that once they come out, there's a whole range of things could, they're going straight to quarantine because there's bacteria and parasites, obviously, that live in caves that they're going to have to be screened for. So they're not out of the woods yet, but they're certainly out of the cave, and it's an amazing thing. And we've got our own Richard Harry Harris, who's a Adelaide SAS, former SAS doctor. Yeah. He's the dude. He's over there. He's assessing the young kids before they get taken out of the cave. So he's our man. He's our man on point.
Yeah, represented very well. You wonder what this experience will do for these kids, whether it, because they seem happy. All the pictures we're seeing, they seem fine. Are they in some kind of shock at the moment?
Yeah,
will it hit them afterwards? What sort of scarring it will have on them, or will they just be really resilient?
Well, it's time will tell, but it's great that they're getting them out
of there. So let's hope, fingers crossed for the next four and also for their coach.
Now, a deadly bacterial outbreak has led to the urgent recall of 9 frozen food products. They're across all our supermarkets, Aldi, Woolworths, IGA. They're Black and Gold, their brand name. So there is a full list of all the products that you can see that are affected. 9 deaths in Europe have been reported because of this.
They're containing Listeria. So some of the brands are Black and Gold, Belfarms, Market Fair and Essentials. We're talking things like frozen corn, frozen peas, frozen carrots, mixed vegetables. So if you've got some in the fridge recently purchased, probably be on the safe side. Return them to where you bought them from. I'm sure you'll get a full refund or an explanation of whether they're okay or not.
Yeah, and they have said that if you do cook them properly, you know, heat them up, like get them in boiling water, not so much of a risk. But some people eat frozen vegetables straight from the packet.
What?
Well...
Let them defrost, or they're eating them frozen?
They just eat them frozen.
What?
Yeah.
Too far.
My old man used to catch polar bears up in the Arctic Circle. He'd cut a hole in the ice and he'd surround it with frozen peas. And when the polar bear came up to take a pee, he'd kick him in the ice hole.
Jeez.
Hang on. Sorry about that.
And just finally, I remember covering this story not so long ago when they arrived, the bike sharing company OFO, but they're on their way out already.
Gone.
Last long?
They've been up trees. You see them on
ponds,
the roofs of toilets.
Yeah.
Over in Victoria, in the Yarra, they have to scoop the river every week, and they pull out about 30 or 40 bikes every week. So it just goes to show that we're probably not that big in Australia on the old bike sharing culture.
Yeah. These are, of course, the yellow bikes. So if you've seen them on your local street corner, in 60 days' time, you won't be seeing them anymore.
We're going to catch up with Crows captain Tex Walker next.
Now, Wimbledon. Serena Williams is hurtling towards history. She is a machine. With startling speed after coasting into Wimbledon's quarterfinals with trademark authority, bidding to equal Margaret Court's long-standing record of 24 majors. And I reckon she'll do it on her ear. She powered past Russian qualifier and fellow tennis mother Evgenia Rodina, 6-2, 6-2. Meanwhile, Roger Federer and Rafa both cruised through straight set victories to advance to the quarterfinals as well.
Just a side note on Wimbledon, the organisers say that the men's final will not be moved for a World Cup clash. So even in the instance that England progresses to the final, if they can beat Croatia in the semis,
no one's going to be watching the men's final.
No one will be there. No one will be watching.
I actually saw a photo online yesterday of one of the main freeways.
In
London.
Yeah.
Just absolutely not a car on it. There might have been like a horse and cart to the side of the road from a produce guy, but absolutely it looked like it was a ghost town. It looked like after the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
Well, there's also some images of a match at Wimbledon between Zverev and Gulbis, and that was during the quarterfinal, and that it's literally empty.
Unreal.
Then again, it's not the biggest blockbuster at Wimbledon we've ever seen that match, but nonetheless.
All right. AFL news. The Crows will have their main training session this afternoon in preparation for the big Thursday night clash against Geelong at Adelaide Oval. The Crows are hopeful Daniel Taulia will get up for the match, although Tex confirmed earlier in our show that midfielder Richard Douglas will miss out. There is a question mark over Eddie Betts. And Port Adelaide's Charlie Dixon has nominated Jack Hompsch to replace Tom Jonas as he begins his stint on the sideline.
Is he one of the Jonas brothers?
I think so.
Tom,
yes.
Nick.
Not a fan?
I love the Jonas brothers.
Okay. Sure. All right. And just in some netball news, the Thunderbirds announced yesterday the appointment of Tanya Obst as the head coach for the next three seasons following the sacking of Dan Ryan.
That is the latest in overnight sport. Next, last week we were talking about how romantic Dave Gleeson is.
Yeah.
No, we have an adjustment. We'll talk about that after this legendary track. It's Triple M's Ruined Its for Breakfast. It's 22-8. 18-8, Triple M's Ruined Its for Breakfast. The boys back Monday. Gleeso from the Jets and Channel 7's Alana Smith filling in. Thank you very much. Mark Bosnich. He's represented Australia 17 times during his career. He's played for the England, Premier League, Aston Villa, and many, many other things on Wikipedia.
Man United, of course.
Yeah, look, we have punched above our weight. The amount of guys that have gone overseas, Schwarzer, Viduka, Harry.
Johnston.
Tim Cahill.
Started off with Craig Johnson all those years ago. Just an amazing ability to punch above our weight.
At one stage, Bozza was the highest paid keeper in the world.
Man. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And he's been no stranger to controversy.
No, he has not been.
And I love that his hair's grown back like it has. It's amazing. Laurie Daly, the rugby league guy, his hair's grown back.
Exactly.
It's remarkable.
It's an amazing thing.
Bozza, for anyone that's watched him or knows him, he's a very likeable personality. Personality.
Yes,
he's a really unique character, but he's great value.
Yes, and overnight he's one up us all, and this is what Bozza did overnight.
Good evening to you from Red Square, and I just want to say to Sarah, my lovely partner, I hope you have a wonderful birthday today. It'll be early in the morning, Monday morning in Australia when you get this. Wish I was there to celebrate it with you, but I'm not. I'm here. And I'd also like to ask you, I think it's quite appropriate right here, a very romantic spot, will you marry me?
Okay.
Uh-oh. It is a very romantic. Well, I don't know Red Square whether it's in my top ten romantic spots, but it may be if your partner is actually with you.
Then that's yes.
If
exactly.
They're 10,000 miles away, then the romance factor has to go very low. But that was Bozza proposing to his long-term.
And they're seeing the message on Twitter.
Oh, he's backed it up.
Is this the new thing, is it?
That was on Twitter. And she's replied. So Sarah went to the same school as
right,
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, so I know his partner, our now fiance. They've got two lovely kids. She's replied on Twitter with yes balloons, YES.
Yeah, no worries, mate.
It left him hanging for a while. She went and bought some balloons.
Unreal.
That's an arrangement and a half. It's not exactly what you would call romantic. In fact, probably one of the most unromantic proposals I've ever heard of.
He's in that category. You know, people say hopeless romantic. Well, people think that means you're like hopelessly in love. It just means you're hopeless at romance. And I think that's what Boz has showed. I mean, I can't talk.
Here we go.
I apologised. Yeah. I do that now. I proposed to my wife at a venue called Springfields in the Cross. It was a notoriously late night venue,
right?
Where you'd often go after you'd performed shows. So you know,
right after party.
It wasn't anything irregular to get there around 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to begin your proceedings. So yes, it turned out when I actually proposed, the one I remember, I said to my wife, will you marry me? And she said, I already said yes 4 months ago when you proposed to me at Springfields. And she said, don't you remember? And I said, of course. But what the thing that made this worse was that she'd excitedly rushed off to call her mum.
Yeah.
and tell her mum that I'd proposed, and then her mum over the next 4 months said, well, what's going on? She said, I don't know. He hasn't mentioned it again.
My big question is, what about the ring?
Yeah, well, see, I got away without a ring. I was very unconventional. Actually, at the wedding,
yeah,
my father-in-law, who has quite a thick Lithuanian accent, was up there giving his speech, and he actually mentioned the fact that, as far as he knows, the tradition is that I'm supposed to ask him for his daughter's hand.
Yes, you do. Didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
Never happened.
I got up.
It would have been tricky to get his approval at 4 a.m. while you're at Springfield.
Exactly. You did the right thing.
It just didn't work out logistically.
I probably won't remember this. So, I went up and did the right thing and asked for his daughter's hand right there and then at my wedding. It was already a done deal.
You're very much a spur of the moment bloke when it comes to quite heavy material.
When you said at the start you were apologising, where you accidentally said apologising asking, I think that was a bit like predictive text.
That's exactly right. I'm an apologist for my own behaviour.
Oh, unromantic proposals is what's on the conversation right now. 1-3-3-5-3, because there would be people, for everyone that gets the proposal correct, there'd be some that have backfired horrendously. And that's what we're looking for. 1-3-3-5-3. 1-3-3-5-3. We're talking unromantic proposals after Australian football legend Mark Bosnich proposed to his girlfriend via video on Twitter.
Beautiful. It's such a beautiful story. Well told.
Alana, can we ask, as somebody that's been proposed to recently, how would that stack up if your other half proposed to you via video on Twitter?
Oh, it's not for me.
Not for it.
Whatever floats your boat. Something in the water at the moment, actually, because Justin Bieber also proposed to his girlfriend, Hailey Baldwin, in the Bahamas.
That's going to last.
In a restaurant. And his security guards had to go around and tell all the other diners to put their phones away before it happened.
Oh, you're joking. Mm. That's unromantic.
You could just do it in private if he wants it to be private.
Now I'm doing this. Everyone, don't pay any attention to me. I'm just about to do something amazing.
With put a $5 billion ring. 1-3-3-5-3. Martin in Kilburn, what is your unromantic proposal?
Well, it was obviously by my ex.
Obviously,
he basically proposed in a bed and breakfast, which sounds really romantic, but it wasn't. It was a dodgy bed and breakfast. His proposal was just basically, "Do you want to get married?" And then he presented me with a ring, which sounds really nice, but it was a ring that was secondhand. It had stones missing, and it still needed welding together.
Was it a family heirloom secondhand?
It was a family heirloom, but he should have done all of that beforehand.
And he got it out of one of those things that you put 20 cents into
with
and
turn
the dial.
It could have been. It would have been better because it would have been all together. But, yeah, I had to pay.
And you still said yes, though.
I said yes, but we broke up, obviously.
Yeah.
But it was a yes as in, yeah, all right.
Yeah, I might as well. Not doing anything else.
I wonder if many people have said no because the ring's not good enough.
Well, thankfully my wife wasn't
you didn't
that
have to
picky.
Risk that one.
Wedding invites are just a text. I'm coming this day.
Yeah, I think so.
BYO. 1-3-3-5-3, unromantic proposals on Ruined It's. Triple M. 1-3-3-5-3. We're talking unromantic proposals after legendary keeper Mark Bosnich proposed to his girlfriend over Twitter via video. 1-3-3-5-3. Ethan in Athelstan, what's your unromantic proposal?
How are we going? My stepdad and my mum, dad decided he would take mum for a ride out on the bike to a restaurant that they both love. They found out when they got there, it was an hour ride, but it was closed. So on the way back, it started raining, and the headlight on the bike blew. And so on the side of a cliff, Dad thought, why not now? And pouring rain, no light, no nothing. They go, mum said yes, so yeah.
And there you go. And how long they've been together for now?
I want to say about 7 years now, and married earlier last year.
Right, there That's you go. Brilliant. Do it in the dark. Yeah. Do it in the dark in the rain, they say.
Can't see the legitimate ring. No, it's a big rock. 133353. Adrian in Roseworthy, what's your unromantic proposal?
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Gleeso, you'd know how cold it can get into the hills.
Yes, yes.
My girlfriend at the time was a Kerry Gully girl, so wanted to get proposed up at Mount Lofty, organised tea, done all of that. Being a horsey chick, she had something go wrong with a horse, ferry stayed for tea. I whisked her away to Mount Lofty. I managed to create a cover story, get her up there, and it was that damn cold that I couldn't get the words out. So I couldn't get down on one knee either, so there's mistake number two. And I managed to fuddle my way through, would you marry me, but she didn't hear me properly and made me say it again. So that wasn't awkward much. So we get home to the farrier, and he's sitting there very patiently. They've waited for tea for us, and we've got to postpone all of their exciting news. I think they were having a baby at the time, and we had to wait and say that we're actually engaged. So it was just a comedy of errors.
There you go. And still going strong?
Yeah, got married in October this last year.
So oh, there you go.
Congratulations.
Good man.
It almost gives other people hope that unromantic proposals do actually work and work well. Some. Very soon, we're going to be catching up with Max Futcher live in Thailand. And next, how you could take a kick worth $40,000. Guys, we're going to cross live to Thailand now with some more good news coming from overnight to Alana.
Yeah, that's right. We're joined by Channel 7's Max Futcher. Max, thanks very much for your time. Can we get the latest on the four boys that have since come out, making it eight in total? And we understand they've been placed in quarantine. Is that right?
Yeah, the Thailand's Great Escape, if you will, is really gathering pace now. Overnight, we saw another four boys come out. They've reduced the time it takes to get each boy out by a couple of hours, so about 5.5 hours dive time for that overnight rescue on average, which is great. And yes, yeah, you're right. They brought them here to Chiang Rai Hospital, where now eight boys we understand are in isolation. Because they're concerned about any bacterial infections they might have received while they're down in that cave system. Obviously, sitting huddled in that cave by themselves for 2 weeks, sanitation would have been a problem. So they really want to make sure they've done the blood tests and medical checks and make sure that there's not any ongoing problems for the boys.
Unreal, mate. So there must be they're getting towards the final stage of this whole operation. Is there any worry about weather coming in, or are they pretty sure they're going to get them out in the window of opportunity?
Yeah, well, obviously this was triggered because of concerns over the monsoon. But the great news there is yesterday was blue skies and hot. Today I'm standing here and the sun's coming up and it's blue skies and like, can guarantee it'll be hot again. It gets stinking here, but it's dry. And that's the great news. Up in the mountain, though, we're near the cave system. There is some drizzle up there. Everyone's just hoping that doesn't get any worse, and they can get this third phase of this rescue underway and get the final four boys and their coach out of that cave once and for all.
I guess from the outside, the temptation would have been to just get in there and get them all out at once. But this has been a highly strategic operation, hasn't it?
Yeah, meticulous by the best in the business globally when it comes to this kind of rescue diving. And they've stuck to their method. They've worked out that four boys at a time has been the best way to go, because it's not just the air supplies that they have on their personal tanks. They have to have extra tanks placed throughout the cave system on their pathway out, because obviously they may need extra air as they go, need to be replenished. So four boys at a time has worked up until now. Do they go with four again today and leave perhaps the coach there for one more try tomorrow, or do they go for broke and get all five out? Everyone's talking about here, which way will it be? We won't really know, because information comes through so slowly. We won't really know until observers tell us, I suppose, there's an 11th boy out, there's a 12th boy out, and then we'll all wait to see if there's the 13th call made and the drama is finally over.
Now, we are, being that we're broadcasting out of Adelaide, we have a little bit of a connection in Dr. Richard Harry Harris, who's been assessing
the
boys.
Have you got his number?
No, I was going to say, any chance you could get a bit of a grab with him?
Well, yeah, we talked to his colleagues yesterday, obviously, and they all said that he's a very no-fuss individual. But yeah, you're right. He has been central to this. He's been in that that cabin with the boys, making the final calls on their health and giving the green light for when it was their time to be extracted. But he was the perfect man for the job. He's an anaesthetist from South Australia, but he's also an experienced rescue diver. If you've seen some of these videos of him diving in these confined spaces with National Geographic and the like, you can see why the British divers, when they first encountered the boys, made that first contact. It was Richard Harris who they were requesting to come and help out because he has the perfect skill set for this. It's tailor-made for this kind of very rare situation.
Yeah, Dr. Harris representing very well indeed. Max, we'll leave it there. Appreciate your time
this
morning.
Max.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Max Futcher from Channel 7, live in Thailand. We'll have more than that in the news in the next 16 minutes. It's Ruined Its for breakfast, Triple M. It's 21 past 8. Ruined Its back Monday on Triple M, being covered by Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets and the Angels and Channel 7's Alana Smith. Guys, not since the Olympics have I seen a peak athlete fail and me call them a loser from the couch with a mouthful of Doritos. And since we have been watching Ninja Warrior, which is insanely good to watch.
Yes, well, I wasn't a big fan last year because I didn't catch many of the episodes. Mm. But in the finals, no one won.
Yeah, I know. And that's the great thing about it. It's not like it's set up or made by producers.
True test.
Not sure if I thought that was great. I wanted to see someone win. However, I watched it last night and it was pretty good.
Oh, there are a few features. A 64-year-old with a six-pack. highlight.
I'm hoping that one day that could be me. 14 years I've got to get a six-pack.
I feel like it needs to be in place already.
Really?
If you're gonna have one. Well, you know.
I saw that guy's got all that surgery. You just get them put in there, don't you? They slip little bits of bands of stuff in there and they make a six-pack for you.
I just press my stomach up against a fence, where you're somewhere, and it gives it the same look.
Good
so
one,
you could
good
do
one.
That. Yeah, not bad.
Of course, rugby league hard man Paul Gallen also is featured in this series.
He proves that, I think the little guys are going to go well in this because Paul Gallen, although he's not very tall, he's quite stout.
He's
quite a stocky bloke. So I think that kind of went against him. There was a bloke called Andy Dunn, who's a South Australian, and he made it all the way through. He's quite a little fella. I think he's only about 5 foot.
Yep.
5 foot four or something like that. So he was able to fling himself around.
Caught your eye. Well, of course, it takes real devotion for these contestants to get there. They just talk about it as their ninja dream.
Yeah, it's like me watching someone do Tough Mudder. I'm impressed, but I'm not envious. You know what I mean? I'd rather watch you do it, thanks. That's genuinely true. And I think that's why I do like watching it, knowing I'd never be able to do that at all. It's like watching a Marvel film.
I call myself the bedroom ninja, but that's another thing altogether.
Moving on. Gleeso fixes the fan and the fuse. That's how he gets around in the bedroom.
Well, let's take a listen to what one of them, one of the contestants, has done to improve his chances.
Last year, just after the competition, my partner and I bought our dream house. We soon realised that the whole house was riddled with termites. My partner Mel is a pretty amazing girl. She let me put my ninja dream first before all the termite damage. So instead of fixing the house, I built a ninja gym instead.
Got to make sacrifices for the ninja dream.
But part of the ninja dream was he's gone down round and one by one taken those termites out.
Yeah!
Coming for sneaking up on him.
Of course, another highlight in last night's show was one of the female contestants, Olivia. She had some success.
Can she be the first woman on season 2 of Australian Ninja Warrior to conquer the wall?
Here she goes. No.
Here she goes for a second attempt.
Yes,
and she's got it. No,
hold
Olivia.
On. What? How the hell did that happen?
Oh, good Lord. So you get three runs at the, you got a vertical wall at the end, so you get three chances to do it. A couple of them failed at the first one and got up the second time, but look, it's absolutely a punish, this course, there's no doubt about it.
I wonder how you get a gig in the stands.
I don't know. Well, there's a lot of
family member.
There's a lot of family interaction. I guess that's another good thing about it. It's kind of, I mean, Tarzan. There's a guy called Tarzan. Please, we don't want to see up your thing. Just wear some modest clothes if you could. There's a couple of guys. One bloke, the pole dancer, rips his shirt off and stuff. You know what? That gets a bit
too
wanky,
much flair.
Bit wanky for me, but but people, you know, pitting their strength and just their bodies against this pretty punishing course, that's amazing. Everyone, just keep the exhibitionism to yourself. Save that for when you're in No Idea magazine.
Very soon, we got to check in with Sean from the newsroom after 8:30. Andrew Denton, right here.
And now it's a very good morning to Andrew Denton, of course, the host of Interview, which airs on Channel 7 tonight at 8:45 after House Rules. Andrew, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, tonight you're going to feature Michelle Payne, of course, the first woman to win the Melbourne Cup, and what a terrific story she has.
Absolutely. I think we all remember there on Prince of Penzance and that fabulous speech she made at the end where she told all those blokes who told her she couldn't do it to go and get stuff. What amazed me about Michelle, I hadn't realised, I know riding horses is a dangerous business, but she had no business being in that race. And in fact, it's a miracle she's alive. The number of serious falls she's had, horses falling on her, being trampled by the pack, being one horse just stopped dead in the gates, and she went over the top of the horse. She's had brain injuries, pancreas busted, spinal injuries. You know, it's incredible to me that she could ride in the Cup. And, you know, my eyes water just thinking about it.
Yeah, seriously brave, isn't she? And also a really interesting family life. We know the connection with her brother, but one of 10, I understand.
Yeah, she and her brother, Stevie, have Down syndrome, the two youngest of 10, raised by their dad because her mum died quite young. And she and Stevie are very close. You remember Stevie was her strapper in the Cup. And she reckons they've watched Farlap about 500 times. And one of the things I love about Michelle, she's obviously born to it. The very first race she won, she went in, she was 15. And the night before, she went out onto the track and ran it as though she was running the horse race so she could plot it out.
Unbelievable. And you're talking about her calling out sexism in the racing industry. It really is a very, very tough industry. I've known jockeys and foremen and stuff like that. So for her story to be told as a Melbourne Cup winner must just be an inspiration to all young ladies all over the country.
Absolutely. And, you know, since we announced it's going to be, Michelle's going to be on the show tonight, we've seen heaps of messages from women saying exactly that and young girls saying, good on you. They're making a film about her. Rachel Griffiths, the actress, is directing a film about her called Ride Like a Girl. So she's gone down in legend, Michelle, and with good reason.
Now, also on the show tonight, this is what I'll be watching for because I'm a huge fan of Neil Finn and everything he's done. What an amazing career that guy has had since, what was he, 16 or 17 when he joined Split Enz in the early days?
Yeah, just 17. And in a nice full circle, he's on the show tonight with his son, Liam, who first performed with Neil when he was 14 at the Albert Hall in England. So Liam's an accomplished musician, and it's this beautiful father-son thing where they've put out an album together, and they're clearly collaborators. And they got, if you've ever wanted to see Neil Finn in his underpants, this is the show for you tonight, because Liam's actually wrote a song called Wrestling with Dad. So the clip they made for it, they stripped down to their undies and did Greek wrestling. They're a very, very close family. Liam says the collective noun for when the Finns get together is it's a filth of Finns.
Filth of Finns. As you say, Liam is an accomplished musician. He's released albums, collaborated with other people over the years. But, yeah, I mean, to be collaborating with your father and to become contemporaries, I guess, would be the best way to describe it. He must be a very fortunate young man.
He is, and he grew up in this totally musical household. Well, I think that's what I loved about it, just seeing the entirely chill way they were with each other. At one point, they get into a Michael Jackson dance-off. And again, you know, with a due respect to Neil, who I love and have known for many years, he could be the whitest Michael Jackson that ever lived, including Michael Jackson.
Ah, undies and dance-off sounds fantastic. Of course, Andrew, gee, you've had some headlines in the last week since you had Guy Pearce on the show.
Yeah, his comments about Kevin Spacey. Look, it's probably indicative, too, of the age we're in where, you know, what Guy said is that when they were on LA Confidential together, he described Kevin as a bit handsy, and that was the expression he used. And he said, but, you know, I was older and I dealt with it. It wasn't a tale of abuse, but we're in such a news cycle now that it got inflated to an enormous extent. I don't think there was a lot to see there. Certainly Guy wasn't saying that he was traumatised or abused by Kevin.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, obviously we support anyone who's been in those situations and their stories need to be told. But not everyone has a story as harrowing or grueling as some of these people who have been in these situations.
That's exactly right. And I think... you know, the real focus, as you said, should be on those who have genuine grievance and genuine complaint and who were vulnerable. And Guy's not that person.
Yeah.
All right, Andrew, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for your time this morning. And we look forward to the show tonight, 8:45, Channel 7 after House Rules.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Andrew. What a legend.
We're just looking back on the year so far at Triple M. Turns out we've been some pretty good mates. Yes, sir! We started by getting some mates back in the black.
How much cash do you need?
$1,000.
We can do that.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we brought our mate Dave Grohl out.
We've known each other a long time now.
And the Killers.
This is Brandon Flowers and Triple M rocks.
Triple M had the first tickets to see Bon Jovi.
This is the one that you're hearing all over the Triple M radio network.
And now at the halfway mark of the year, we're just getting our eye in. Triple M's 40K kick for cash is coming.
You are the man that's going to kick for 40
grand. Yeah, I'll be okay.
One kick, $40,000.
The kick on the way is good.
We'll send some other mates overseas to hang out with Slash.
Hey, this is Slash. Triple M rocks.
And our one night in September will return to...
One night in September.
Mate, I wouldn't be going anywhere for the next 6 months if I was you.
Thank you, Triple M.
Great things happen when you've got 104.7 Triple M on at work.
Cheers, guys.
Triple M. The M is for mate.
Triple M's Roo and Dits for breakfast, 9 to 9. Triple M, boys are back next week, being covered by Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets and Channel 7's Alana Smith. Thank you very much. In true budget style, being early July, we still don't have a budget for an intro for this segment. But it is a segment nonetheless.
Do you want me to just come up with something?
Just sing. Well, we've called it What We Didn't Get To. So sing.
What we didn't get to, what we didn't get to, here's what we didn't get to. Yeah.
With that intro.
Look, he's writing a new voice already.
We were talking earlier in the show about our respective sleep issues, not being able to get to sleep. Yeah. My three-year-old has the same problem. Well, there's been some research done, and a third of Australians, based on this study, are suffering from a condition called social jet lag, where our sleep is all out of sync. So weeknights compared to weekends, we're going to bed at different times, waking up at different times, and that's why we can't get to bed. And we're waking up tired and we're late for work and we feel sick when we go to work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're all symptomatic of not what. Of course, you don't want to go to work, but where are you going to get your money from?
Exactly.
I'm so tired of waking up tired. Look, it's all got to do with social media addiction too, or use of, you know, people
devices in the bedroom.
People lie in bed in the dark.
Can I say, with a sister that's a doctor, she said to me, every phone has a blue light filter.
Right.
Switch that on and your screen kind of goes almost like not a reddish colour, but a bit of a tinge. And the reason being, or she only said this to me, is that if you knew how much work blue light does to the brain, no wonder you can't sleep. So they even stop watching TV at 7 p.m, completely missing Ninja Warrior, because the blue light will keep them awake. Well,
I yearn for the old days where you'd both go to bed, there'd be no devices, it'd just be, oh, come over here, darling, all that type of stuff.
Pringles. Oh, sorry, but maybe we're going.
Sounds hot.
Jeez. What else did we not get
what
to?
What else?
The majority of people know that smoking poses significant health risks like heart disease and cancer, etc.
Yep.
But many remain completely unaware of the other dangerous impacts. There are 23 health conditions now linked to smoking, chronic health conditions, but most people can only name about 10 of them, and they're the popular ones. So there's actually a move to let people know that it's not just the popular bad effects. There's many other terrible, detrimental things. I went and had a checkup recently, and the doctor said there's no safe level of smoking. And I said, what about drinking? He said, well, that's, you know, the jury's still out on that. And I said, well, keep them out.
Yeah.
But no
Let
safe,
them deliberate.
There's no safe level of smoking.
It's so odd. They were talking recently about updating all of the graphic inverted comma pictures on smokes,
yep.
Which I don't think is going to do any good considering that you can just go home, Netflix, Game of Thrones, way more graphic than a cigarette pack. We were talking about it the other day, that they should put on packs of smokes how much money you just spent as a reminder. So yep. A day later, 2 days later, you look at that going, I could have bought 8 cartons of 2-litre milk if I didn't buy these smokes.
Alternatively, someone being disemboweled on Game of Thrones, maybe that would work on the pack of the cigarettes.
Go up.
And you could probably buy something even better than milk. Like, if you saved up for a few days.
Easily.
As an incentive. Like my protein. Anyway. I reckon we'll get someone else
tell
on their marketing
tell
campaign.
Us about this wife.
Okay, what about this wife? This is my favourite story from the last few days, probably ever. She busted her cheating husband after finding that another woman had burst the pimple on his back. So she was all into squeezing pimples
she
on her husband's
wait.
Back. She couldn't wait. She'd been eyeing this
she saw that one.
Sucker off for a while. And he came home and it had been taken care of.
And you know you can't, I mean, you can't do that. There's no way he's gone to the mirror and done the old malachi crunch on his own pimple. No.
Yeah.
There are people I have known that will not even ask if they can go for your blackheads or your pimples.
Right.
They'll just go, pimple! And you can't get out. Alana, are you one of those people? Are you sort of, what will we get? What name will we give it? Kind of like an uncontrollable pimple popper.
A pimple popper? I would very happily take care of my head on my husband, but not a stranger. Like, walking up to you going, hey, got any blackheads?
Trust me.
There'd be a few people on the bus going, wow.
I feel a bit sick now.
Would not do that at all. Is there anything else that we didn't get to today? Because we are running out of time. I know that there's a couple of things we wanted to get through.
Okay. Surely there's a better use of money around. Dressing like a duchess doesn't come cheap. Meghan Markle, they're constantly in the spotlight, she's dished out approximately $1.36 million of often bespoke clothing she's turned up in since her nuptials to Harry. So it's not cheap.
It's not as bad as it sounds because, well, $600,000 of that was the wedding dress.
She's actually got quite a good point there. And that's not going to pop up on...
Not that that was cheap, but...
That's not going to be on Tea Tree Gully's Buy, Swap and Sell Facebook page, is it?
Yeah,
worn once, 10
and,
grand.
And her reception dress was another $215,000.
You're up at near 800, you're over
budget.
800
she's
grand.
She's quite a budget on the wedding.
Yeah, that's all.
And they had to spend 14 grand on a book for little Prince Louis for his christening.
Absolutely.
Winnie the Pooh. So,
what we're going to do is a GoFundMe.
Doing it tough.
We're thinking of setting up a GoFundMe page for Megan's wardrobe.
Guys, we're back tomorrow morning. In fact, Lisa, you got an RDO. You're on for 2 weeks and you managed to negotiate an RDO.
Rue taught me how to negotiate a contract.
He will be back tomorrow morning. Thank you, guys.